Well, US inflation is hotter than expected. Does that delay the Fed? Well, not if you look at equity markets. They've bounced back with great gusto today. The numbers in the RBA business survey also showed more resilience than the RBA might want to see. So quick cuts are out of the question here. And a rise from the Bank of Japan. Words from the governor in front of Japan's parliament has got people talking. It's Wednesday, the 13th of March, 2024. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the US dollar has bounced back a bit, but less than 0.1% this morning, so hardly worth talking about. The Aussie dollar is down 0.1% to just over 66 US cents. We've got a 0.2% fall in the pound. The euro only just in the red, but a 0.5% fall in the yen. The share market doesn't seem too worried about the US inflation overnight. At the market close in New York, the NASDAQ is up 1.5%. The S&P is up 1.1% and 0.6% higher for the Dow, but not good for small caps. The Russell 2000 closing just in the red. Strong results in Europe as well. The Euro Stoxx 50 closed up 1.1%. The FTSE 100 was up 1%, 1.25% for the DAX. Big moves, as you might expect, in bond yields. So 10-year treasuries are up 6 basis points to 4.15%, up 3 basis points for 10-year bunds. Aussie 10 years yesterday were down 1 basis point to 3.94, but now on futures overnight up to 4.01%, so a 7 basis point rise. And moves in oil as well, 0.25% down for WTI, down 0.2% for Brent. And gold has come off its highs as well, losing more than 1.25%. So yeah, US inflation last night. We talked yesterday about how we need to see that core monthly rate getting down to 0.2%. 0.3% was expected this time. It was 0.4% in January. Now we know that February is actually still up there at 0.4%. NAB's Taylor Nugent is with me from Melbourne this morning. So does this do anything to the chance of a June cut? And what is it with equities? I mean, they're treating this as though it was exceedingly good news.
Yeah, good morning, Phil. I think, you know, the summary from that February CPI data is, you know, a bit of a rebound from the, you know, the strength seen in January, but, you know, maybe not as much as hoped for. I think, you know, one important thing there, core was 0.4 again, consensus was for 0.3%. The rounding was pretty unhelpful for the optics there. It did slow to 0.36%. Right. So, you know, it was only marginally above expectations. And I think in terms of what the implications are, you know, the equity market reaction is really the outlier. And I think, you know, the only way to square that is probably that, you know, for some reason equity investors were braced for an upside surprise, because when you look at, you know, the reaction in the US dollar, and if you look at yields up, you know, 5 to 6 basis points across the curve, that's all, you know, fairly consistent with a bit of an upside surprise, but not really a hugely outsized reaction. I think that just speaks to, you know, we've already seen in market pricing after that January surprise, you know, when investors aren't looking at March, they're not particularly interested in May, the focus is on June. And I think what this does is, you know, it suggests that, you know, maybe there was a little bit of, you know, exceptional circumstances in January. Maybe there's a little bit of that kind of residual seasonality story bleeding into February, but, you know, a little bit of a rebound here. And so, you know, the data can still has plenty of time by the time we get to mid-year, by the time we get to June, to give the Fed that extra comfort that they're looking for, even though, you know, at its headline today, you know, Fed officials would have been liking a little bit more of a reversal here.
Well, so Jonathan Levin, writing on Bloomberg today, said that there's idiosyncratic factors in this report that's keeping core inflation higher than it, you know, should be. And, you know, he raises the question, if the Fed is waiting for that reliable data, the problem is when the data isn't reliable. You know, you could be waiting for a long time is his point. And, you know, you risk a harder landing than it needs to be if you're waiting for things. You know, clearly the direction is down and it's dangerous to wait for the perfect result because it might not come, because there's always going to be idiosyncrasies in the data.
Yeah, there's always going to be idiosyncrasies, as you say. You know, in this month, in terms of the headline number, fuel prices were higher. Within the core reading, we, you know, used cars were surprisingly strong. They were up 0.5%. They were down 3.4% in January. The trend there is still probably for decline, so that was adding to the core. Some more comfort this month, you know, that rent story with, you know, without getting too into the weeds, owners' equivalence rents were surprisingly strong, and that gap to market rents really opened up in January. That closed again in February. So while rents aren't really showing kind of compelling further moves lower, which, you know, a lot of forecasters are expecting, you know, at least that kind of tentative reacceleration in January has been kind of proved to be an aberration. So that's all encouraging. I think, you know, from the Fed's perspective, I think, you know, we've heard how they're approaching this. They're cautious. They don't want to move too early. They feel like they have time to wait to gain that comfort, because in the activity readings, in the labor market readings, you know, from that data, they're not getting a sense of urgency. And so, you know, I think they should be forward looking. They will be forward looking. They are forecasting further progress, but you know, they feel like they have time to wait because the activity data is not giving them too much concern.
No, but the small business sector will be telling them that things are slowing down, because the NFIB small business survey down 2 points to 89.5. It's the lowest in almost a year, and it's lower than it was actually at the height of the pandemic. So, I mean, we have talked about how there's a bit of politics involved here. There's a Biden factor in that they are small business people, and they don't like having Biden in charge. So that might influence it perhaps a little bit. But obviously inflation too, and this later CPI read won't help perhaps with the next survey. But I mean, it's showing slowdown, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. So, you know, that just speaks to, you know, this kind of reacceleration in inflation does seem to be a bit of an outlier when you look at the survey indexes, when you know those trends of further progress on inflation do still seem to be intact, which is why, you know, I don't think this should be, you know, changing things too much, even though it isn't giving them that green light. As I said, in the detail of that survey, you know, the net share of firms that are raising selling prices was at 21%, that inched down from 22%, but, you know, worth noting that is a new post-January 2021 low. So, you know, some continued progress there. And I think, you know, it's not just that headline index that was a little bit lower in the NFIB small business survey. You know, across the detail, there was kind of a little bit of weakening across a number of measures, including things like, you know, job creation plans, planned inventory intentions, earnings, business conditions, all kind of softening a little bit in that read.
So what about the NAB business survey then? Does that change the timing for a cut from the RBA? Because we are still seeing strong growth, strong business conditions. You know, if business is doing so well, the question the RBA will have is, you know, well, what's the rush, particularly when we are seeing profitability rising for businesses as well?
Yeah, so the business survey, certainly the highlight of the Australian calendar yesterday, and that one showing, you know, a raise. You know, one more reason why, you know, the RBA is in a position where they need to be moving quickly. You know, we saw a bit of a reacceleration in business conditions, which is certainly something to watch. It had kind of, as you talked about with Sally yesterday, it had been moving down towards its long run average from fairly strong levels, and that was kind of consistent with that slowdown in activity that we saw into the end of last year. We did see a bit of a rebound in the most recent survey. So that was up to plus 10, well above its long run average of plus 6, and up 3 points. And so, you know, early days to suggest that there was, you know, some kind of turning point at the end of last year, but maybe it does say that kind of trend in business conditions isn't quite as weak as may have been feared. The increase in the month really driven by trading conditions and profitability as well. So, you know, potentially suggesting that, you know, that softness in activity, you know, there is still some resilience there, I think, is the key takeaway from those activity measures in the survey. And the other thing to note there just quickly is that, you know, while the data in totality is going to be giving the RBA confidence that they're making progress, you know, the indications here in terms of capacity constraints, what are the inflation pressures, all, you know, certainly not, shouldn't be giving the RBA too much comfort that you know, where they're in a position to move away from restrictive territory quickly.
Well, that was certainly the message from Sarah Hunter, wasn't it, yesterday? She was from the RBA. She was on a panel at the AFR Business Summit. You know, she seemed to be saying that inflation is still a drag on, you know, and a bigger drag than interest rates. So households may be struggling, but it sounds like, you know, there's little appetite for them to do anything other than stick with the plan, which, you know, could take quite a bit longer.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, when we look forward to the RBA's meeting, the 2-day meeting finishes on the 19th of March, so next week, I think these comments just, you know, speak to that view that we probably aren't going to see much new. Their new forecasts come out in May, and we did hear from Sarah Hunter yesterday that, you know, they're monitoring, they're looking, that the data are actually broadly in line with what they were anticipating, and they'll be reviewing and updating their forecasts in May. And so I think think that says that, you know, they haven't really learnt much to shift their assessment since February. And it could be, you know, pretty much a non-event next week from the RBA. And I think that point that you pulled out there as well, that kind of, you know, maybe the most interesting comment was that she acknowledged that households are clearly struggling. But, you know, she did caveat that with, you know, the reason is because inflation is the single biggest drag on households. So, you know, that inflation is still the number one priority there.
So we're doing you a favour is what she's saying. So where is the weakness then? It's in the UK, isn't it? The employment numbers, they fell much more than expected in January. We had a rise of 72,000 in December. 10,000K was expected this time. But no, they came in at minus 21,000, but a smaller than expected claimant count. So go figure. Although that is for February and these numbers were for January, just to add confusion. And of course, we should add that confusion is where it's at with UK employment numbers. I'm not really quite sure how much we can trust them because they've been having all these sampling problems, haven't they? But anyway, it's a stab in the dark. I'm not quite sure what it tells us, except for the fact that the UK economy is weak. We knew that.
And I think it does say that, you know, it is some further evidence that, you know, there is some easing in the labour market. So as you say, the numbers are kind of, you know, difficult to put too much faith in, especially on kind of a month-to-month basis. But, you know, the unemployment rate did tick higher. That's the first increase in the unemployment rate there for a little while. And I think the bigger one for me is that that earnings number. You know, weekly earnings, excluding bonuses, are up 6.1%. Expectations there were for 6.2%. And I think, you know, while those numbers are still very high, those year-on-year numbers, if you look at kind of the last 4 months or so, wages growth is much closer to kind of the 3% that the BOE would see as consistent with the inflation target. So I think, you know, a little bit more progress, are seeing cooling in the labour market, and those kind of concerns about too high wages growth potentially receding a little bit off the back of this data as well.
Right. Take all of that and add the GDP number, which we get for January. That's out later on today. Continued speculation about the Bank of Japan. We haven't got those wages numbers yet, but Bloomberg is reporting that they are edging closer to raising rates. Governor Ueda was speaking in Parliament, of course, so presumably that's where this report comes from, that maybe they will make a decision at the next meeting. Bloomberg says it's too close to call. I guess it does depend still, does not, on those wage deals. But we have seen quite a bit. I mean, the yen pared back some of the losses overnight, didn't they?
Yeah. So we saw there's been some reporting in the press. There was a Bloomberg article getting some attention, citing kind of officials that, you know, they're preparing for a decision either way in March. So just kind of adding to that expectation that the March meeting could be live. But, you know, on the day, we certainly saw the yen a bit of an underperformer against the stronger US dollar. And some of that difference, obviously, we saw a bit of weakness in the yen alongside the broader dollar strength out of the CPI. But in, you know, Asia yesterday, saw the yen a bit of an underperformer there. And there were some comments from Ueda just kind of noting the weakness in household spending and that getting some focus given, you know, the broader noises about the, you know, the conditions coming into view to be moving away from those ultra accommodative settings. But he did also say that, you know, his view is that the gradual recovery continues. And he pointed specifically, noted that there was more data this week and that they will consider adjusting policy settings at the upcoming meeting. And so the more data this week, you know, the most obvious thing there is the outcomes of those Rengo wage rounds on Friday.
Yeah. For sure. All right. Well, today we've only mentioned UK GDP, Europe's industrial production for January. We get some ECB speakers as well. Selected price indicators for New Zealand. So how much does that contribute to the total CPI picture for New Zealand?
Yeah, I think the selected price indicator is probably interesting in New Zealand. So we get food price inflation in that should kind of continue to slow. But we also get about 45% of the CPI is covered by those monthly indicators. And so while they're not doing a similar thing to the ABS, where even though it's a partial indicator, they're, you know, totting it up and imputing some things and calling it a monthly CPI, they do still, you know, they do still reveal a fair bit of information. So that'll help kind of firm up those first quarter inflation expectations as well.
Thank you for that, Taylor. We'll catch you again very soon. Thanks for coming up, getting up so early, and we'll catch you next time.
Pleasure. Thanks, Phil.
And that's it for me. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. Back again tomorrow morning. See you then.